All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice with me as we read from verse 19, and we'll look at the context here in just a moment. He said in verse 19, he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Father, we thank You for this day, for this time, for the blessings You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege again to assemble together in Thy house with Thy people. We ask now tonight Your blessings upon the reading of Your Word. Lord, pray again tonight that You teach us, lead us along in Thy truths, Lord, and that we may be able to serve Thee and be better servants for Thee. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is number 10 in our Take Heed series. We'll title the message this evening, Take Heed, as in verse 19, to the word of prophecy. Take heed to the word of prophecy. Now in verse 19, I want you to notice, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." I'm going to break this verse into three sections. And first of all, we're going to consider a more sure word. The second thing that we're going to consider from this text, and I'll ask you to hang on to it throughout the message, is a light shining in a dark place. That'll be point number two. And number three, we will title number three, A New Day Dawning. He said in verse 19, I want to read this several times this evening, you say, what is the word prophecy? It is a reference to messianic prophecies or messianic scriptures. Hundreds of prophecies, promises given to us pertaining to the coming of Christ. First coming and second coming. I'll give you an example. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, he says, "Search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." Then in Acts 10:43, "To him give all the prophets witness," a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 19, 20, and verse 21, we'll back up a little bit farther in just a moment. But in verse 19, 20, and 21, he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We see that in verse 20, before we get into our outline, in verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Notice we don't rely upon man's opinions. And there's no portion of Scripture that is to be interpreted just by itself, but in the light of other Scripture. John 10:35 says that the Scripture cannot be broken. And we know that when we come to the Scriptures, we find truth, and that truth lines up with other passages in the Bible. Nothing contradicts itself. Then in verse 21, I want you to notice that this prophecy, this word of prophecy we're going to talk about tonight, in verse 21, came by the will of God. He says in verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." You know, many people today say man wrote the Bible. You and I know that that's not true. We know it cannot be true. And if it were true, the Bible would be written in a different way. Man would say a lot better things in here about himself. You know, you would and I would too. If you wrote the Bible, you'd want to sweeten up some of the verses where God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We would kind of lighten those up just a little bit if we had wrote the Bible. He said that prophecy in old time did not come of the will of man. But he said, but holy men of God, verse 21, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God wrote the Bible. Yes, He used men's hands and holy men of God, but He wrote the Bible. The Holy Ghost gave us the Scripture. Now, to get in our outline, first of all, a more sure word in verse 19. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? Well, notice as we back up, and I'm going to begin reading from verse 14. What the apostle is doing in this chapter, he lays down another argument to prove the truth and reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's two arguments given here. One, the transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John upon the mount and was transfigured before them. That's in Matthew 7, the first few verses. And no comparison is really has to be required here between the transfiguration and the word of prophecy. They actually complement one another. When he said verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, the word also, he's bringing you to the prophetic word. And he said, we have also, verse 19, including the readers, not just Peter himself, a more sure word. You see, the gospel of Christ is proved here, again, by not only the transfiguration, it's actually a twofold testimony. We have the transfiguration, the experience, the miracle that they saw there. And then we have all the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. So it's more sure in verse 19 in the sense that only a few saw, by the way, the transfiguration. You say how is this more sure? Well, it's not that it's more important in the sense it's all the Word of God. It's all truth God has given. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ transfigured. There's only three men there that saw the transfiguration. But how many millions have read the Scripture? Even to this day, only three were there at the transfiguration. But millions and millions and millions have read the Scripture. Millions have the Scripture. And so he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's been talking about the gospel and the transfiguration. Notice as we read from verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. That's carrying you back. It's recorded, I think, in Mark and Luke, but it's carrying you back to Matthew 17. And he said, verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So this transfiguration was a testimony to these three men, these three leaders among the 12, Peter, James, and John. And this miracle of transfiguration became a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 19, we have also. Now, here's something else that we have. The prophetic word is confirmed by the transfiguration. The transfiguration is confirmed by the prophetic word. And the prophetic word here in verse 19, again, is the Old Testament. I include the new in this, and I'll show you why in just a moment. But he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We found the voice of God confirms the prophetic word. And the prophetic word confirms the voice of God. There are twofold testimony. But he says we have a more sure word. There's only three men that saw the transfiguration. Again, thousands and millions have read the Scripture and saw the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the word prophecy here in this passage has to do with divine revelation. And that is given to mankind pertaining to the coming of Messiah. And again, I believe this refers to Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. And he said here in verse 12 of this same verse, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established, notice, in the present truth. In the present truth. Turn with me to chapter 3, and notice with me as we read from verse 15. If you're taking notes this evening in 1 Peter 1, I'll just give you that. This also speaks in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. He's talking about searching the Scripture, finding Christ's sufferings and Christ's glory in the Scripture. So I'm saying that when we talk about the word of prophecy, yes, he's referring to the Old Testament Scriptures, but he's also referring to the New Testament Scripture. The Bible said in chapter 3, verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other Scripture unto their own destruction. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. What he's given us is Scripture. It is the word of prophecy. Notice with me in Romans. We're going to be turning to Romans chapter 16. There's many passages that bear this out. Ephesians 2:12 or 2:20 were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. When Moses and the rich man are speaking the story about hell, Moses or Abraham basically says that they have Moses and the prophets. And these are some things that are seen all through the Scriptures, the importance that is placed upon the prophetic word. In John chapter 5, if you're taking notes this evening, in John chapter 5, I think I quoted this verse this morning. It said that search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. I've already gave you that once also this evening. But then he goes on to say in this passage, he says in verse 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And in verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So the prophetic Scripture confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ. The miraculous transfiguration also confirms the same. Now in Romans chapter 16, we'll read two verses from this chapter and go back to 2 Peter. But he said here in verse 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the Scriptures of the prophets. Did you notice that? The gospel of Jesus Christ is now made manifest. How? By the Scriptures of the prophets. Then he goes on to say, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, notice, for the obedience of faith. So again, the gospel, and there's many, many other verses and chapters and and in books in the New Testament that confirm the fact that the prophecy was given about the gospel of Jesus Christ, this divine revelation. Now go back with me, please, to 2 Peter, and notice in chapter 1, again, verse 19. So, the word of prophecy, the Scriptures, is referring to, yes, the Old Testament, but also the New Testament as well. Compare the ancient documents to what Christ has fulfilled. That's all we got to do. We've preached and wrote on this a number of times, and the Messiah in the Psalms, and then the Messiah in the Old Testament Scriptures, there's several hundred references to Him. The Gospel is, in fact, a matter of prophecy. Then He said here in verse 19, not only do we have a more sure word, which is our first point, which is the Old and New Testament prophecy, but we find in verse 19 here, notice that as I come back to this, He said in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto whereunto, rather, you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The next thing is a light that shines in a dark place. This prophecy that we have, this divine revelation, this sure word of prophecy, we find, number two, that it is a light shining in a dark place. Scripture is spoken of as light. Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 and John 8:12 is spoken of as light. But here He says that it is a light that shineth in a dark place. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter, reading in chapter 2. Now, there's a number of places in the Word of God that speak of light and darkness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 21, speak of the darkness of the soul. Ephesians 5, 7 and 8, and verse 14, speak of light in comparison with darkness. Matthew 4, verse 12 through 17, speaks of the people. This is the coming of Jesus Christ. And says, the people that sat in darkness, it says, they saw great light. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 rather through 79, Jesus Christ again gives light unto those that sat in darkness. Now I'm going to read here in just a moment in 1 Peter. I'll give you just a few other verses to go along with that. In Psalms 119, the Bible says in verse 105, Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're talking about the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 23, He says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproof of instructions are the way of life. So over and over, and there's many others, we see that the Scriptures, they are a light that shine in a dark place. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, we have these words. I'm going to be reading in verse 9, describing the people of God. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him. Now look at this. Who is called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And He said in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. One other passage on this, 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, chapter 4, and notice in this passage. So the Scripture is spoken of as light, It is a light shining in a dark place. And again, the Scriptures are confirmation of the Gospel. So the Gospel is a light that shines in a dark place. He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice with me as I read from verse 3. Let me just back up into verse 1. Let me just begin reading in verse 1. He says here in verse 1, notice this carefully. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Like what the Apostle says, he says, we've not walked in craftiness or dishonesty, and nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Then he said in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. And he said in verse 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light... Now here we are back to this thing of light and darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now verse 6. He said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He carries you back and he said, as the word was spoken in the Old Testament and there was light, there was darkness before this. And he's using that to show that's what the gospel does, is it not? When the gospel is preached, the gospel is spoken, there's darkness in the souls of men and women, and this is light that shines in and speaks the word, and there is light. Especially when they receive it, they're lit up by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about. And then he said in verse 7, but we have this treasure, that is this ministry, that is this light, this truth, this gospel, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that is clay vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God saw to it that He's going to get the glory. He's using clay vessels, and we are to reflect the gospel, we're to preach the gospel, live the gospel, but He's going to get the glory in this, you know, in the end. Now, go back with me, please, for our third point this evening. And the third thing I'm going to give you this evening is a new day dawning. Notice with me as we come back, a new day dawning. I'm not going to tell you that this passage has been easy. There are a few things here I'm not sure that I totally have down. But notice, let's read the entire verse again. And then we'll comment on just a few other words in this passage. In verse 19, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now here's where we're at. Our third point, a new day dawning. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The light of Scripture shines until Jesus Christ comes again. We're going to need the Scripture as well as the Holy Spirit until Christ comes again. Prophecies reveal the future. They illuminate the present for you and I. The day dawn. Well, I got three words or three things here I want to just mention. The day dawn, the day star, and then arising in our hearts. I really believe that's, yes, it can apply to now, but I really believe it's pointing in to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The day dawn, the returning of Jesus Christ. One quote from another author, he said, the dawn will eventually break, bringing the kingdom, and then prophecy will be needed no more. But in the meantime, only prophecy can lighten the darkness. Right now, we have light through the Scripture and by the Holy Spirit, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? When that time comes, when Jesus comes again, the Word of God is still the Word of God, but it will be fulfilled in its entirety in the new heavens and the new earth in eternity. Now, the day star, let me give you some verses you can jot down on this. And I want you to listen to this. Let me just read a couple of verses before I get to that. In Romans chapter 13, we have these words. In verse 11 and 12, he said, "And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Talking about being right with the Lord and the drawing near of that day. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Many of you can quote this verse 25. He said this. He said in verse 20, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." Obviously, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, the day star, we find a number of different phrases in the Scripture. I believe all of these point to Jesus Christ. Malachi 4:2, he's called the Son of Righteousness. Shining over the day, giving light. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. The day star, by the way, applies to the Messiah. He's also called the morning star. He's called just the star. And he's called the day spring. Write down Luke 1:78, Revelation 2:28, and Revelation 22 verse 16. He is the morning star. And when He returns, He will shine in full glory in His kingdom. Now, we see here that He says in the latter part of this verse, He said, "This light shines now in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now, does not Christ, is He not risen in our hearts today? Well, the answer is yes. But when we come to the place of the actual coming of Messiah, there's some things that will be changed at that time. We will have Christ in person at His second coming. And we won't need the prophecy in the sense that we need it today. Everything we believe is based upon hope. As in 1 John 3 and Romans chapter 8. Everything is based upon hope resting upon the Scriptures. To give you an example, let's say two people are separated for many years and letters are written. And those letters are important. They help us. They give us comfort and peace and in our hearts. And letters compared to having the person, though, is a different story, is it not? And letters are important when there's that separation. But when Christ comes, we'll actually have the living Word. We have the written Word right now, and you know, in our hearts and so forth, but we'll have the living Word. He is called the Word in John chapter 1 and in verse 1 and 2. And I believe that's what he's saying here in this passage. There's some things such as faith and hope that will not be a reality in the kingdom, but charity will be a reality in the kingdom. And so he's saying here in this passage, he says that there is a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. I believe He's reaching beyond just our present time. You know that morning star, that bright morning star that leads into the day. It is a pledge, that the morning is coming, that the day is coming, you know. And I believe that's what he's saying here in the passage. Let's turn away and just read a couple of other verses, and then we'll close tonight. You see, that bright morning star is the forerunner to the perfect day that's coming. Christ will usher in the eternal kingdom, the eternal day. Notice, let's go to four places. 1 John chapter 3, first of all, and notice here. In 1 John chapter 3, and let me read the first few verses. He said in verse 1, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, if the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Have you really thought about that verse? The world knoweth us not because it knew. It doesn't understand us. Why do we try to court and date the world? He said it doesn't know us. Paul said, "I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me," in Galatians chapter 6. He said here in this passage, he said in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You'll notice Christ will one day be fully revealed at His advent to you and I. He even says in this passage that when He shall appear, we shall appear like Him. He's saying in verse 2, "It doeth not yet appear what we shall be." So there is that anticipation and that hope and then that reunion with the Lord, having Him in person. Romans 8, read here and then we go to the book of Revelation. In Romans chapter 8, everything will be a complete, full reality. There's a lot of debate over 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, when it says, "When that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away." I believe that that which is perfect, many say it's the Word of God, it could be, but I believe it reaches beyond the Word of God. But it has to do with the coming of Christ. And when Jesus Christ shall come, He mentions in verse 12, "We now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." We'll fully know everything in the resurrection at the second advent. There's things that we, even we that are students of the Scriptures and been saved for a number of years, there's still things that we do not totally and completely comprehend. Can I get an amen? And if you've got it all down, I want to talk to you. I want to spend the next week with you. The older I get and the longer I live, there's some things I just don't know. He's given us enough to know that we can serve Him and be pleasing to them and those kind of things, but there's things we don't know. In Romans chapter 8, we read here in verse 20. Let me back up to about, start just read verse 24. Notice verse 23. You can read the surrounding verses later. Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Now here it is. "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for?" Saved by hope. Where's that hope at? It's in the Word of prophecy. "Take heed. This book is worthy of our consideration. Take heed unto the Word of prophecy." Take heed in that, because this is where we understand the truths that deal with our eternal destination. Revelation 21 and chapter 22. Now notice, as we come to Revelation 21, chapter 21, the latter part of that chapter, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Now notice carefully. I want you to see that Christ is the light of the new city, New Jerusalem. What is our light today? the word of prophecy. And obviously the Holy Spirit that abides within. But one day, now notice here verse 22. He said, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." He says in verse chapter 22, verse 1, he's describing the city. Chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead." Now here it is, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign," notice, "forever and ever." He will be the light, the fullness and glory of the kingdom, but until Jesus comes, we need the light that shines through the word of prophecy. We've got to have that. We're going to stop right there.